Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 362 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is your mature, friendly gaming community. A bunch of old folks that like to play games, let's face it. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law on Twitter, OC underscore Murphy's Law. You also have two fine gentlemen joining the podcast this week. Starting with the very goofy look on his face, Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello, it's me, Bongo, the Zane, or Captain Kirk, as many of you now know me. Hi, it's at Bongo the Zane here. Bongo the Zane on Xbox Live and pretty much everywhere else. I'm broadcasting live from Ballymena in Northern Ireland with some very strange gentlemen, and I'm happy to be here today.
We are happy to have you. I did notice, though, are you hiding the Captain Kirk hair now? Because you've got the baseball cap on.
That's it. No, I'm just down with the kids.
Down with the kids. All right. Nice. All right. Is there a price tag still on the hat somewhere? Because that's what the cool kids do.
Yeah, right. This is the Denver Blue Jays, I'm told.
The Denver Blue Jays.
I'm sure they're a good sports team.
They play badminton. Yep.
Badminton. Okay. Yes.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, well.
We'll talk later.
Goodness. Yeah, we will. Who else do you have on?
It's funny that you ask, Robin. I was just getting ready to say something. We have Mr. Mark Wright on the show this week.
Hello. Mark Annex here. Mark Annex on Twitter, Xbox Live, PSN, Steams. Not been on for a few weeks, but I'm glad to be back on. How's everyone doing?
Glad to have you back on.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. You are feeling better. Life is good. You have a lot to talk about, I know. There's been a topic that you've been wanting. Yeah, you've been wanting to talk about it. You haven't had a chance to talk about it for weeks, driving you nuts. I still can't believe you bought a Nintendo Wii. I'm shocked, but we'll talk about that. Okay, not really. Sorry, no. No, Bongo, no. There still is no Nintendo love on this podcast.
Yeah.
I have noticed I have a smudge on my camera right here, so I'm pointing this out for anybody watching the live stream because now I want everybody to fixate on that smudge.
It might have been me earlier on today because my hands were all oily. I was taking Charlie's quad apart, I was taking the carburetor off and cleaning the carburetor and air filter and spark plugs out and putting it all back together and getting her fired up, ready to go again. So that might be my oily hands on the thing there.
We've both been very, I will say industrial is probably the wrong word to be using right now, but we've had physical work being done. You've been working on your son's quad.
I see it. Your cheeks are so lifted.
I'm flush.
You had the crane in?
No. I did work out this morning. That is, yes. But no, actually yard work. Getting out, mowing the lawn, cutting back the shrubs. Right. I mean, our backyard, it's like the jungle took over. I finally looked out there this past week, and I was like, it needs to be addressed.
British listeners, that's gardening.
Yes.
I must admit, I take certain pleasure when I drive home and drive down our driveway, and my gardeners are there cutting my grass.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
There's a certain, like once every 2 weeks they come and they mow the lawn and tend to the things where I just don't have time for it. That's brilliant.
I'm getting to the point where I'm probably going to go that route. We have a guy that used to take care of the place. When we moved in, we didn't, renew his services. I was kind of like, I'm all for, I've never had really a front and backyard of my own house. So this is the first house that I've had that before. We lived in condos, so we didn't have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So I was all excited about mowing the lawn. That really quickly has diminished the more and more this year has gone on. So
don't get me wrong, I enjoy it, but I just don't have the time for it.
Now, what kills me, it's actually the mowing the lawn, the gardening part of it, I actually like. It's nice. What is pissing me off to no end, there's this little vermin, and they're called voles. They're like a mole. They're like
a field mouse.
A-E-I-O-N-U? No, they destroy your lawn. They just eat things, and they burrow, and there's a little family of them, and it's Caddyshack. I'm fucking hunting these things, trying to kill them, and they're laughing at me.
Double ball shotgun down the hole.
Totally, totally. I've bought gopher bombs. I mean, you know, thinking that might work on them. Yeah. You know, you light them up, and the poisonous gas comes out of them, so you're shoving them down this hole. Nothing. They're beating me. Mm-mm. They're beating me badly. But, so,
Mark, do you have moles in England? Because we don't have moles here in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So that's something, you know. But vials and moles must be something.
Not that common, but yeah. In fact, on the field next to my mum, there's a big playing field where we take the dogs for a walk and that. Yeah. There's a few molehills there. So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, what's weird about this is they don't actually like burrow like mound holes like you would see from a gopher or something like that. They just kind of root up the grass. And they create little trail tracks, and so your lawn starts becoming uneven, and I mean they just destroy things.
And, you need to knock them down.
I need to, hell yeah! I mean, I'm all about killing these things. I've bought traps.
You need a big cat.
Oh, we've got a neighbor cat. This cat comes over every day. The problem is we feed that fat little bastard, and so I don't think that cat has any ambition of catching
a
thing.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
pretty much. Well, our family increased last night again. We got two bunnies, a six-year-old won a bet, and we had to fulfill our forfeit, and the cage came a week ago, and the bunny, two little bunnies came tonight. And, of course, this afternoon, he leaves the cage door open, and I'm chasing over a field after a white bunny, trying to catch the little bugger already.
I'm just happy. I'm happy this wasn't I knocked over a bunny story.
So, no, thank goodness, no. Maybe a fox with a bunny. So we've got Stripes, who is all grey with one stripe down his forehead.
Okay.
And we have Captain Sparkles, and that's a very kiddie.
Captain Sparkles, that's going to be your new nickname, Captain Sparkles.
No, it's already taken. It's a big YouTuber, so I wouldn't take that. So. Yeah, it's down with the kids again. That's what we're going to have. Down with the kids.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're very much into Captain Sparkles. So, yeah, bunnies at the rescue, chickens at the rescue, and we have to get another cat. But I think I'll wait until I come back from the States for that to happen again. So, yeah, but between mechanicking, small farming, gardening, vole attacking, Mark, what have you been up to? Division.
Yeah, seriously, have you slept and done anything other than play the Division?
Well, that's all. I have done sleep and play the Division. So
must be good.
It's a little indie game that's just been released.
Yeah, a little small title. Yeah. Well, let's see. Anything else outside of video games before we jump into the video games? Actually, Mark, real quick, anybody in the Twitch chat that we need to give a shout out to? I know we started an hour later, so if you were catching us live or you were thinking of catching us live and you showed up at our normal time in the States, we weren't broadcasting. The whole time change thing has thrown everything off. So we had to start an hour later in the U.S., but we're right on time in the U.K., so...
Right on time. Yeah.
Nah.
No, nobody. We are just talking to ourselves. That's okay.
Good. Old school.
I talk to myself all the time, so this is perfectly fine. All right, let's dive into it. Let's talk about the games we've been playing. I think maybe we get the Division out of the way up front. Let's start off with the big one. So, Mark,
I played a little bit of this game, not much.
Right.
Yeah. Just
so
a little bit.
We got this game. You at the time couldn't play it that midnight launch because
it
unlocked
play it on the
too
UK
late.
Time,
right. Right. So here's the amazing thing. I was able to play it. Right. I was able to play it first. And by the time I got done playing it my first time and then coming back into it the second time, I think you were at like level 10. and I had just completed the intro. That was the sum of my time versus your time on that first day.
I was quite fortunate because I was poorly. I had what the doctor called acute sinusitis, and it was giving me headaches and all that crap. And the doctor just so happened to give me a week off work, which was quite coincidental because that new game had come out, so I wasn't complaining. So, yeah, I spent a lot of my week off just playing this game non-stop.
All right.
Therapeutic.
Yeah. Yes, it was, yeah. Now, it helped because I'm back at work.
we have talked about the Division in the previous podcast, but yeah. I think it's worth getting your perspective. And also because you are actually playing the higher levels now. You hit level 30, both in the Dark Zone as well as the main game.
I've actually had a peak, a trough, and then another peak on the game, actually. Getting up to the level cap, level 30, I really enjoyed it. I played as many side missions as I could. I purposely went after all the encounters to get all the different points for doing the upgrades in your base. You've got three upgrades you can do. You've got medical wing, tech wing, and your security wing. And as you upgrade these, it unlocks perks and abilities. So I concentrate on getting all them done.
Did you unlock the big screen TV yet?
Yeah, I'm the VHS player.
All right, perfect. Okay.
No,
there's no such thing. For anybody searching for that, no, there's no such mission.
You do unlock some cool stuff, though. You can unlock a clothing vendor in the security wing right at the back. So you can buy each day, it refreshes the items for sale, so you can buy weapon skins and stuff.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
Probably the best thing, yeah. You can buy a weapon skin. So if you check it every day, get a different weapon skin.
I like that, because I've actually been wondering. I have one weapon skin between all of my weapons, and I can only put it on one weapon at a time.
Well, you can buy more than one weapon skin, so you can put it on as many as you want.
I would like that. This makes me happy.
Yeah. Hmm. You can also unlock a Dark Zone vendor in your base of operations, so you don't have to go all the way to the Dark Zone to purchase Dark Zone weapons, if you so want.
All right.
And also, once you hit the level cap, you get what's called the end game. And that unlocks a special vendor in the tech wing. Mm-hmm. And this guy sells things for Phoenix credits.
Right.
Now, Phoenix credits, for those who play Destiny, they're like your strange coins. Right. They are quite an elusive currency. And to get Phoenix credits, you have to do the daily missions. She's similar to what Destiny do daily strikes. Now, these daily missions, you have to play on hard mode. You can play them solo, or you can go as a team. Now, what I did, when I got to level 30, I felt quite powerful. I felt like I can take any enemy on. And then I tried these missions. And they are tough.
Right.
All the enemies are all at least purple with loads of armor.
Right.
And then they're throwing about between four and six elites in each group, which are the yellow ones.
Right.
Now, normally in the sort of like main story game, you might get one elite and three purples, and the rest are all like normal grunts sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The red health bar dudes. Not in these are tough. And I was getting really frustrated doing these solo. In fact, I couldn't do one. I got to the boss on a couple of them, but I couldn't beat the boss. It was just too difficult. So I gave up in a bit of a huff, really. And I thought, well, if that's what it's going to be like, it's going to be a bit like... I have the same with Destiny. When I got to the level cap in Destiny, I gave up for a bit and came back to it.
Well, and also Destiny, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, one of the big things about that was there were a lot of things tied to like raids, which you had to do with other players. You couldn't even attempt solo. I think that's really one of the big differentiators between the Division and Destiny is the Division will let you try something solo if you want. Yeah, not necessarily advisable, but you can try.
Well, unlike Division, where with raids, you can matchmake in this, whereas with raids in Division, you can't. You can with strikes, but not with raids. So I went into matchmaking, and it paired me up with two other people, not three, so there's three of us, complete random people. And it worked really well. We worked as a team. Everyone seemed to know what we were doing, and people soon caught on. I didn't have my headset on, so I didn't talk or anything. But you got to see what people were using as their special abilities. So you could see one guy liked to do the healing, one guy liked to throw down the turret and that. And so, it worked really well. And we breezed through it that way.
Yeah, well,
it was so much easier.
And that's something to talk about. And Bongo, by all means, jump in on this conversation whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm now level 9 just before the podcast, so I'm way behind you guys.
I've got another character at level 10, so I can join you with that.
Yeah, okay. I'm not too far ahead of you, Bongo. So,
I've had some great fun with it. It is daunting, all of the menus, but they are slowly starting to make sense to me. Comes to you. There's still an awful lot more stuff there that I'm just glancing through, and I'm not sure whether I should be deconstructing everything or selling everything or what I should be doing. And yeah. I made something at a crafting table tonight and went, okay, what does that do? You know, so there's a lot of that, but I'm sure it'll come as I
got a bit of a tip with the crafting and selling, and this is actually Womble's sort of like brainchild he put in the WhatsApp group. You're best selling all your purple stuff, because if you dismantle them, you only get green and blue.
Purple?
Right. Robin, we're not there. Yeah,
When you get to level 30, you'll be throwing purples away like it's nobody's business. Okay. Raise my hand. That's me. I'm Mark. And then with your green, the sort of like grey and your blue items, if you dismantle them, deconstruct them, you get materials for them, and then parts, that will benefit you later on in the game. It won't benefit you initially, because initially I sold everything. And now I've got to the point where I'm level 30. I'm getting all these blueprints, and I can't craft anything. I'm having to dismantle loads of stuff.
Yeah,
because when I made something, it needed 7 parts,
right?
And I had 35 or something like that.
I've pretty much just been dismantling things. I have not been keeping anything at this point, because you can also, if you do get lower level parts. Yeah. What you can do, and I think, Bongo, this is probably what you're just talking about, is you can take those lower-level parts and craft a higher-level part.
Little thing. Okay.
Right. So
if you've got a green fabric.
It's cool.
Yeah, 5 green fabric can make, I think it's 2 or 3 blue fabric. Right. And then you need 5 blue fabric to make 1 high-end fabric.
Right.
And same with weapon parts and that. Because when you complete the game, you get a blueprint for a high-end pistol.
Okay.
And you need 5 high-end weapon parts. So I had to dismantle, I think it was about 20-odd blue and green weapons just to make this thing.
Hey, Mark, see about your guns. You mentioned pistol. You can have 3 guns. You carry sort of 3 guns. You can quickly flick through.
Yeah.
What's the point of the pistol?
It is an important piece of weaponry.
Playing with my main weapon and the medium weapon, so an assault rifle and a submachine gun, and then I really haven't done anything with a pistol whatsoever.
It is a very valuable backup weapon because you have infinite ammo.
Right.
You cannot run out of bullets. So, you have to obviously reload, but you have infinite ammo. And like, I've unlocked this blueprint and I've got this high-end weapon now, so this is my only gold weapon at the moment. And when I'm in a situation where I'm low on ammo and I'm taking bad guys down, and I either need to reload and I haven't got time to reload because he's coming at me with a baseball bat, or I'm completely out of ammo, I'll switch to the pistol. And that high-end pistol, a couple of headshots, and finish him off.
Right.
So
okay. All right.
Long term, they are invaluable.
Yeah.
The mask thing as well. You want to talk about weapons, but I'll come back to the masks.
Yes.
Let me finish up on the weapons. So one of the other things I have started to really practice is, you know, you have your 2 main weapons. So one, do not make the mistake.
Yeah, you found something out, didn't you? Yeah.
Don't make the mistake I found, which is there are certain weapons you might think are an assault rifle. They are not. Make sure you, when you're pairing your weapons, you have their different classes.
It says on the screen.
Yeah, it'll say on the screen, assault rifle, submachine gun, carbine rifle, I think is the other one. I could be wrong on what it is. But anyway, needless to say, if you have 2 weapons of the same kind, they will use the same pool of ammo. So you literally cut your ability or your ammo ability in half.
The
other thing that I found out is, and this is going back to the pistol, you know, your backup weapon, is as you get into some of these more hectic firefights, especially like in the Dark Zone, that kind of thing, where reloading your weapon takes far much, you know, it takes a lot more time than switching out to a different weapon.
Flick through.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so what I do is I progress. I go from my assault weapon to my submachine gun, and then when both those clips are done, I'm into my backup weapon. And that's usually for like a finishing move, hopefully, on whatever, you know, guy's coming at me.
What I tend to do as a rule of thumb is I have one assault rifle, and then my second weapon is usually a submachine gun. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is if you're stuck in the middle of a dark zone, the only place you can get more ammo is obviously from drops from the enemies, but are at the sort of like main checkpoints. And if you're miles away from a checkpoint, you've no ammo, there's a lot of enemies in there. So what you can do is you can go into your inventory, you can switch out for a marksman rifle, because then you've got a completely new
different
ammo pool.
Ammo?
Yeah, this takes different ammo, so you've got a full replenish. So that's another little pro tip there.
Yep.
Switch out for a marksman rifle. I've got a SCAR H. And that's actually classed as a marksman rifle.
I have that as a backup
weapon.
You were asking about the mask.
The mask thing. Leveling up gives you more access to more contamination areas.
Yeah. Right.
But now, how do you sort of tell the contamination areas? Sort of.
It will tell you.
It just tells you as you go.
Yeah, when you get near it, it'll say you need a filter level 1, 2, 3, and 4. It only goes up to 4.
Well, you'll hear the guy come over the radio. He'll be like, you're now entering a contaminated zone.
And if you go into an area where you haven't got the correct filter, you will quickly see your health deplete rapidly.
I made that mistake.
Now,
I can go in here.
First, I thought you had to find masks with different filter levels, but you don't. All the filters, all the masks only have a filter level of 1. The way you get higher filter levels is unlocking perks in your upgrades in your base of operations.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So if you
check, I think I'm at level 3.
In the
at
medical.
Moment.
Yeah, medical. In fact, all three: medical, technical, and the security. Each one of them's got an item to increase your filter.
Right.
So, in the medical zone, I've been trying to. I'm trying to be good and be a medical thing and open all of that bit up first. And I know I'm going to have to stop to move on to different stuff. But when what parts of the lab did you open up first? I went straight for pediatrics.
I think I did that too.
And then counseling.
Yeah, I think it's important when you're looking at the different things to upgrade, it's going to tell you what the perks you're going to get from that are off to the side screen.
Yeah, so, it was one of those like +10 or +10% XP or something like that there.
One of the things I like to look at is the modification unlocks for your skills. So like your pulse or your turret, you can get modifications for them, so they'll do extra things.
Right.
Like the turret, you can have it so it's a flamethrower. So I looked at them, really, and tried to unlock them first.
Okay, so I haven't went near the dark zone at all yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So I won't worry about it until you get higher level.
Yeah.
Mind you, having said that, me and Greg went in there the other night, and I had my level 8 character. And I felt more of a badass at that level than I do at level 30, because the enemies were a lot less level in there, in the dark zone. It's a weird thing. Until I've got better weapons now from a level 30, it's a bit of a destiny scenario where you've got to get your light level
under
up.
Pard 30. You're under pard 30, yeah.
It's weird.
And it's interesting, because it will also tell you, the game will tell you, because the game breaks out like different boroughs and so there's sections that are higher level in the game. You know, you'll see it as you enter, Queens, it'll say, you know, you see Queens is written up in the sky kind of as you're coming up to it, and it'll give you the level of the area you're coming into.
It would be suitable.
It'll also tell you, and I think it's just the dark zone, but I could be wrong, Mark. If you're going into it, and it basically will tell you have a weapon that's under level for where you're going.
It does it in the main game as well.
Okay, yeah. So I was carrying around a green weapon along with I had a couple blue, and it kept telling me that, and so I finally switched it out. But, I mean, it's interesting. There's a lot of information this game conveys back to you.
Any irritants?
There's a few.
Anything you don't like?
I would say probably one of my irritants is we experience this in terms of being able to connect up with players that are either higher or lower than you, but we finally figured out the magic to that. So
plus five or something like that?
It's not even that. It's higher level players you can only connect to a higher level player.
You can only connect to a higher level player. It's to stop like my level 30 joining you and then just one-shotting everybody.
Right.
If we wanted to play together, it would miss matches, but then you could join on me, but you'd be fighting level 30 enemies.
Right. So,
but I couldn't join you and fight level 9 enemies.
Yeah, there's great risk reward in that, you know, Bongo, you could jump in with Mark and get all kinds of crazy experience going into the Dark Zone at a low level against really higher level characters, assuming Mark could carry you.
Back.
I jumped in with some chaps the other day or yesterday when I was maybe level 6 still and they were level 13,
mm-hmm.
and I just sort of stood back.
Right.
And I was the last man that was just lobbing in grenades every now and again. And I was getting one, they were killing me with one hit, so I was keeping my head down. But the XP counter was going zzzz. It was brilliant.
Right.
It was cool. So, for me, and again, it's a very minor thing, but it is a real annoyance, is the letter A.
I'm not sure.
So everything you look at, go near, touch, pairs up with A.
Yeah,
so you think, is that a thing to collect? Yeah. Oh, it's another A. I mean, I wish that they would take that out. I wish that, you know, like Gears, it doesn't say A, you can go to cover here. You know, almost anything you can go beside, you can automatically go into cover. And I don't see the need for that. And I think it's just God, it's such a minor thing to this wonderful game, but it is just a little irritant of mine.
Well, you can turn off those prompts. In the settings, there are there's a lot of visual settings within the game, and so one of them is you can turn off the cover prompts.
Oh, right. Good.
So 100% you can do that. I actually like them still, because every once in a while you'll be pinned down or in a weird situation and you just want to try and run to that next piece of cover the right way. So it's handy to see that, you know, pathway.
Yeah.
If you will.
Well, I would like to keep that bit, but switch it all off.
Right.
Not everything. Yeah. Not everything's actual solid cover.
Right.
It looks like it is, but it isn't.
Yeah. I would say one other big irritant for me is the deconstructing of things, because it's one item at a time. And modifications
you
also.
You can do more.
Oh, can you?
Oh, modifications. If you mark them as junk, if you go in your inventory, you can mark them as junk with your left trigger.
Right.
If you deconstruct any one of them, everything in your junk gets dismantled.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The more you know. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
My biggest bugbear is the cover system's good, but I still get, in panic situations, I still have that thing where you're sticking to it, and all of a sudden you're popping out of cover when you don't want to,
right?
And then you're getting attacked. So the cover's not perfect. It's good,
jump,
but it's
jump.
I will say, in terms of going back to positives, the multiplayer component of this game, the Dark Zone, is probably the best multiplayer experience I think I've had since Gears of War when Gears of War first came out, and Gears of War was just straight competitive, so that was brilliant fun with your friends and it was manic, but this is such a level of tension the best way I can put it. It's you go into the Dark Zone and you know, and it's that you've seen the memes out there of everybody pointing their guns at one another,
it's a
Mexican standoffs all the time. And that's what the Dark Zone is. 90% of the time you come across other players and you just are straight up wondering, are they okay? Are they going to be cool?
Well, I'm going to get my dark on then.
Right.
The main game, the multiplayer experience, teaming up with people, so easy to do.
Yes.
And even that's such great fun.
Right.
And we laugh. We laugh a bit about that trailer. I've said this before, the trailer that at E3 a few years ago where there were people sort of going through a script. You go over here and you go over here and you go behind
like that.
It's like that. It really is.
And it is still like that in the Dark Zone. but a notch above. To give a really good example. So one, since the beta, they made some really great improvements to the Dark Zone. There's more enemies in terms of environmental enemies. You encounter them a lot more, which is great because, you know, that's kind of a core building block that you can just go and go after them. The player versus player stuff, though, I'm not doing it justice enough explaining just how tension filled it becomes because, you know, again, you know, kind of going back to how the Dark Zone works, you go into the Dark Zone. There are missions actually in the Dark Zone. You can go and play against AI. There are encounters you will go and do in the Dark Zone, and you'll get loot off AI. The entire time, there are other teams of human players that are all in the Dark Zone area with you. And at any time, they can turn on you or they can help you. And if they turn on you, any weapon that you collected in the Dark Zone and you haven't extracted yet because it's contaminated in the Dark Zone, so it needs to be cleaned, basically. So if you've got some loot off some AI and you haven't extracted it yet, you have this little yellow canister on your back that will be visible to anybody. And that basically tells everybody you have some loot. So other players coming along, unextracted loot,
contaminated loot. Okay.
If they kill you, your loot drops on the ground.
As some of your credits.
Yeah, as well as some of your credits.
And you lose XP.
Yeah. Loot that you've already cleaned and basically gone out of the Dark Zone and you know, it's basically yours at that point, it's yours. You're never going to lose that.
That's completely safe. Right.
But what is the thing about that you have to drop it in the middle of the ground and wait for a minute and a half?
This is the extraction. So there are predetermined spots on the map. Usually 2 to 3, I think, really. I think there's really only 2 to 3. There might be more, but...
No, I think there's between 6 and 8.
Never mind. There's 6 and 8, but I don't go to those areas because they're higher.
They're level 32 elites everywhere in the top part. Okay. I won't go there. I get one-shotted up there at level 30.
But, so, loot you capture in the Dark Zone, you have to basically get extracted out to get cleaned. And that's where these extraction zones come into play. So you've got your...
To clarify.
Right.
So if you kill a computer player.
Right.
And you grab his weapon or whatever, and that's your loot.
Right.
Yeah. You can't just leave the Dark Zone.
No.
You can't leave the Dark Zone without it.
It'll destroy your weapon because you have to go through decontamination process.
The only way you can get the loot out is by this extraction process.
Yeah, correct. Which is you signal a flare into the air, and then you've got a 90-second counter where a helicopter will come in, drop a rope. You have to physically go to the rope, hold X down, while you put that little yellow bum bag on the rope. And you decide to do that as a team?
Yes.
Do you do that as a team? And you can do it twitching like a bunny's nose, solo, because doing that solo is the worst ever, because the amount of times I've done this solo and I have been turned on by just two guys. If it's two of you, you feel a lot better. Right. I was in there today with Womble and we didn't get turned on once. But when you're solo, you are such an easy target.
Because they know nobody's got your back.
Yeah.
Right.
One guy will put on the rope with you. The other guy hangs back. And as soon as you start putting it on that rope, he will open fire and there's nothing you can do.
Okay, so if you're doing it as a team, and I put my yellow bag on the helicopter rope, does that mean everybody's loot gets extracted?
Does
somebody else have to put theirs on?
Yes, I think
it can take up to 6 people's lots of loot, because you don't always get your loot extracted, do you, Greg?
Here's a quick example of how the extraction zone worked in real life. So we came up to an extraction zone. We had actually paired up with a random, very nice young man, gamertag Reckless. He paired up with us, and so the three of us were going through. We all had loot. We decided it was time to go to the extraction zone. One of the things that they have changed from the beta into the new kind of retail version is when you signal for extraction, enemy AI converge on the extraction area. Yeah. So it forces It forces a firefight. Yeah, it forces a firefight no matter what. So that makes things even more tense because you know the enemies are coming. You know you're going to be getting into a firefight, so it's a matter of where they're coming from and how to set up your defenses. On top of which, if there's other groups of players in the area, now you're watching the street for the bad AI, and you're also watching the dude ducked in the cover, you know, right to your left.
If you've got a sliver of health left, you are an easy target for someone to go rogue and nick your stuff.
And that's exactly what Mark's saying. So they start looking, you know, everyone's looking at one another. You can see one another's health. You know, everybody's got loot. And so
well thought out.
Oh, yeah.
Even the whole game is so well thought out.
It is really brilliant.
When we first saw that thing at E3 where they turned on each other, we all thought, oh, well, that's going to be Dick Valley. Everyone's going to be a complete knobs. Oh, it's going to be awful. Right. But it works so well. It is so tense.
I love the idea of you losing XP. Now there's two types of XP. There's Dark Zone. Don't know. If you lose XP, you lose Dark Zone XP, but do you lose your normal XP as well?
No,
normal level determines your actual character's level.
Okay.
And also in the Dark Zone, it uses your character level, not your Dark Zone level. Your Dark Zone is actually called a rank. And the way that comes
is that just status? Is that just a status thing? Or do you get extra?
No, you have to be certain ranks to unlock certain chests. There's Dark Zone chests, what you need keys for. And some weapons you have to be a certain rank to purchase. Mm. That's why I've been battling all day to get to level 30, well, rank 30, so I could buy some gear with my Dark Zone credits. Yeah, but the high-end stuff, you have to be rank 50.
Yeah, it really is just this great social experiment on top of everything. Yeah. Because there's times where we meet other groups, and we all have one another's back. We all work together. Nobody's turning on one another. And then every once in a while, you'll even have a situation of, you know, a couple groups working together, and then a third group comes in that goes, they decide to go rogue, and they're trying to take people on. And usually it happens when the enemy AI is also attacking. So it's kind of one of those things where people stand back, they let the enemy AI come in and attack, and if you start getting damaged a lot by the enemy AI, you now suddenly are a potential target for me to go rogue on you.
One final question.
Right.
Do you all get ordinary XP in there as well, or do you only get Dark Zone XP?
Just Dark Zone.
It's only Dark Zone.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to try this then. Okay.
Like I was saying, you can lose XP. Like today, after I hit level 30, I accidentally shot someone during a firefight, and it turned me rogue. Sometimes you can hit another non-hostile agent, and you'll just get a bit of a warning, but I must have hit him one too many times. It turned me rogue, so they turned on me, killed me. And when you die as rogue, you lose a lot more credits and a lot more XP. Right. I dropped down to level 29.5, so I've lost about 45 minutes worth of work to build that back up now. So,
however, there is a huge reward. There is huge reward for successfully going rogue.
Yeah, if there's 5 tiers to going rogue. Once you kill your first person, you get a timer on your head and you've marked as rogue and everyone will come after you. But if you keep killing people, once you get to level 5, you get to what's called manhunt status. And this is where you have a massive pointer on the map.
Right.
You have a big, huge bounty on your head.
Right.
And everyone's after you at this point. Absolutely everyone's after you because they want this bounty because it's a huge amount of credit and XP. But if you survive, you get a massive reward.
Right.
So there's this massive risk reward. Yeah. There's a famous YouTuber called RX Gaming. He's done loads of Division and Destiny videos. He's got a load on this manhunt. He survived the manhunt a few times. Look up RX Gaming and you can see the actual manhunting process. It's really, really exciting.
Yes, good stuff.
So how did the guy from Borderlands with the bat get into this game as well? Those guys, what are they calling Borderlands? They come in the psychos that come charging at you?
Yeah, they're actually worse than you think because couple of hits of that bat and you are down.
Well, and usually they kind of come out of nowhere too. So, yeah. I mean, how many times
were we... And they charge you. Yeah. That's when you panic.
Yeah, they charge you. And this is one of those instances where your backup weapon becomes your best friend. Because you may, you know, be firing off rounds, suddenly you see one charging at you, and you're in the middle of a reload. You're screwed. You need to switch out to a weapon. That's when you want to switch out to your backup.
Yeah.
Gotta say, I love the atmosphere. I think it looks beautiful. I think it looks great. It makes you feel, you know, just even running around by yourself, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
The streets feel right. You know, even so Penn Station tonight, I've been in Penn Station, and you sort of recognize all, God, which corridor is it again, and how many levels is it, and yeah, it's just superb, really, really good.
Yeah, the weather effects too. Soft. Weather effects are amazing.
You can lose complete visibility with a foggy, snowy environment. And that. Yeah.
I'm wondering, what they do, I mean, will it always stay there, or will there be an update that the city deteriorates, or you know
that's a good question. I think that they're talking about some of the future updates may actually take us into a different weather time frame, so it take us out of winter and take us maybe into spring, so there's going to be rainstorms and fog as opposed, and maybe, you know, and sun obviously, but instead of just snow. So you're going to see a little bit of a, you know, maybe the thaw, that kind of thing. I also imagine they're going to be opening up other areas of New York, because it's not all of New York. It's there's still sections that are blocked down.
Yeah, locked down. Yeah. And so, Mark, you reached the top level in the main game as well. Is there a title screen? Am I going to see a victory achieved?
No, when you get to level 30 and you finish the last main story mission, all you get is... like a splash screen saying end game, and it tells you what to do after the end game. So, and you get an achievement. Now, I was thinking you might get some credits, because I was going to victory achieve it, but I never never did. But we haven't even touched on the RPG elements of this game yet.
Well, that's actually
this game is so deep.
That's probably the other part of it that I think a lot of people are not necessarily wanting to understand or believe, maybe, because a lot of people kind of have complained a little bit about, you know, the bullet sponginess of enemies, and it's because this is an RPG. It's not a shooter. It's not a first person shooter. This isn't a Call of Duty. Yeah. It's not a Battlefield game. It is, you know, you have armor, you have hit points, you have things that you know will impact, you know, how your weapons perform, as well as how well you heal yourself, and when you really start to dive into those menus, you start to understand just how deep an RPG this really is.
And what you'll find is, as you progress through the game, so I think it's from like level 20 onwards, you will start seeing all these attributes to your different weapons and armor. Mm-hmm. You'll have like, it'll say like plus 25% scavenging. And what that means is the higher your scavenging, the more chance you've got a better drops, loot drops. Right. You've got boosts to clip size, magazine size, and your weapons and stuff. And then on top of that, your later armor pieces have got mod slots. So you can add a modification. You know, like on your weapons, you can add like a scope and a barrel. On your, like your backpacks and that, you can add a modification slot to that to increase your firepower or increase your health. So there is a lot to it on the RPG side.
Right. Yeah, and
that's, deciding what mod to put in it can be quite tricky.
Well, and it's not just even the mod, but also just the different armor components, if you will. So, you know, your backpack can, you know, it gives you armor. It also gives you carrying ability. Your bulletproof vest obviously gives you armor. But you'll notice that they all have kind of, there's three different perk areas. There's
firepower,
health, and
stamina, health, and electronics, which is your skill power.
And so you'll start to see that different armor pieces will have kind of like a green up arrow or green number in one area, and it might not be grayed out in other areas. And as you're specking your character out, you start to have to kind of say, okay, am I going to be more of a medic character? Am I going to be more of a tank-like character and do a lot of damage, or be able to take a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And so as you start looking at that, then you have to start looking at how these different mod and components actually affect your ability to deal damage, your ability to sustain damage. And so it's very complex.
And also some of the higher level weapons, the weapons have talents, but to unlock these talents, they have to meet the requisites of the firepower, stamina, and electronics. So say your assault rifle's got this talent of if you get a headshot, it won't consume a bullet on a certain percentage chance, but it needs a stamina level of, say, 2,000 to have this. So you've got to make sure in your middle box, in the stamina box, you've got to have that at 2,000 or higher for that talent to actually be active.
Right.
So that throws in another dynamic. So it's really deep when you get into it, the higher levels. But don't be overblown by this yet, Robin, because it's a slow progress.
No, do you know what? You've been at this, you know, full tilt, and I'm not. I mean,
the way I've got into it,
I'm consuming this is like, and it is one of those things you can quickly pop into. I mean, I would grab 20 minutes here, and half an hour there, and an hour there. That's the way I have to consume it. But I can do it that way as well. So another tick box, and I see myself playing this for most of the year that way, and it might be the end of the year before I hit level 30. But that's cool.
You
know, that's cool.
I didn't actually aim to gun for level 30 straight away. I just play the shit out of it because I love the game. But as a byproduct, I'm getting all this XP. And what you'll find is when you do the story missions, just completing one story mission will give you probably 60 to 70% of the XP you need to get to the next level anyway. You get huge XP for doing the missions.
Right.
So it's quite easy to level up when you concentrate on the story.
So have you come across achievements for shooting dogs, animals, birds, rats?
Sadly, no. I thought there was going to be, and I was a complete animal murderer for a while.
Trying to run them over.
The birds were the hardest, though, because, once they catch flight, they're tough.
But you got the bugger in the end. You might have used three clips, but you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder why you can't drive. I mean, surely all these cars still have fuel in them and stuff like that there.
Oh, totally.
They've all been abandoned.
I think...
It would be too crazy, probably.
Yeah, I think that's really what it boils down to. It is kind of a glaring plot point hole, if you will, you know, because surely in this kind of situation, the military would be coming in with some serious hardware to take back New York. They're not going to just allow looters to run roughshod over New York.
No, the looters aren't very, very good. I mean, you go into that electronics shop and there's 20 laptops still sitting there.
I know.
anyway, yeah, it's brill. It's cool. We could talk about it all night, but we shouldn't.
Yeah. I know. I will say the only part to the vehicles, I've been to New York. I don't actually believe there are that many police vehicles in New York.
Or ambulances or anything else, yeah.
The taxi cabs, I straight up believe. That is true to life, because there are a gazillion taxis in New York. But the amount of police vehicles across the streets is pretty comical.
I have to admit, I'm getting quite OCD about closing doors.
Yeah.
I have to close all the doors.
I do wish we could open the doors all the way up and make them cover. That was something they pulled out of the final build.
Step J in the chats mentioned something I did a lot of in the beta. I haven't really done it in the main game, but that's shooting out the tires. The tires, if you shoot the middle of a wheel, the tires will pop, and they give out quite a nice, rewarding bang, and then the fizz of the air comes out.
Right.
So, speaking of bangs, I love shooting those guys that explode. The guys with their grenades
tanks
on.
Yeah, the
guys with the
tanks.
They know it's coming, and just the wee
if you catch them at the right angle, some of them, they can launch in the air. There's going to be some good We Are Epic videos with them.
But I also hate them when they get in on close on you.
The flamethrowers have such a long reach; it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and they're called cleaners, so there are different factions, and there is more of the story coming.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, is it? Is there a story there, or is it just Escape from New York, where the inmates have went wild?
Escape from New York.
Yeah, a bit more.
More or less. More or less.
Okay.
But that's okay. As long as you're not trying to take this story overly serious, there's enough of a story there for you to follow along. There's actually some really crazy things. So there's collectibles in the game, and there's videos that you can collect surveillance footage of street things and whatever.
Seen some of those, yeah.
One of the craziest ones was, it was actually kind of hard to watch, was one of the first ones I collected, which was you basically see the dash cam footage of a squad car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, first going down. Yeah.
Ambush,
And that was like, okay, that was kind of serious.
That was where they came across the Rikers, which are the prisoners who escaped from jail.
Yeah,
very nasty. Yeah,
this isn't—it's not a game for kids. That's again another reason why I get grabbed 20 minutes here and there, because I don't even think I'd like to accidentally come across stuff like that. Even though there's not a lot of blood and guts,
there's quite a bit of swearing in it as well. Yeah,
but there's quite a lot of swearing. There's not a lot of blood and guts, but some of that stuff is too adult theme.
Yeah, well, yeah, that in particular was just—I mean, even I was like, "Oh, okay." But yeah,
there's a few like that. A few of the echoes are quite graphic, where the cleaners are just taking people out, or the Rikers are just shooting people for the fun of it, just to nick their food and stuff. Yep. So very much Walking Dead type thing, where it's humanity's gone out the window.
Well, and it's funny because if you know, that's a great analogy, Mark, by the way, because if you really think about it, especially when you take the Dark Zone into consideration, that's the Walking Dead. You've got AI enemies that are there. They're not necessarily going to be all that dangerous to you, as long as you know where they're at and you're in the right level.
Unless they're in numbers.
Right. And they're in numbers, then they become a real danger. Yeah. And then you have your interaction with other humans, and you never know how they're going to react. Are you going to be friendly to one another? Are they, they're going to turn on you? And seriously, the more I think about it, the more this is The Walking Dead.
It's got proximity chat as well. So if you hear any of the non-hostile agents going, call, run like hell.
Yeah. yeah. So last little anecdotal story, and this is kind of going back to that, the craziness of the Dark Zone. This was actually, we were still with our three-person team the other day, and we came across two rogue agents. They were they had approached us, and we had just started to, on the very fringes, engage some AI, but we saw the rogue agents coming, and it was like, hey, they're rogue. So we turned and we started getting this massive firefight between them and us, and we're firing on them. Next thing we know, the AI had been like, they spawned in more enemy AI, and they were harder. And so suddenly we're turning around, and we're in the crossfire now.
Right in the middle, aren't we?
Right in the middle, bullets both directions, and we're just, I mean, we're screwed. And we're scrambling, yeah, and we're backing up, and we're healing one another, and suddenly it's just like, we need to do a tactical retreat. And so we were able to get out of that. But it was not for, I mean, I think each of us probably got shot and knocked down 3-4 times. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the only saving grace I think that helped us was finally the guys that had gone rogue started to back off a little bit. And so we were able to kind of turn our attention to the AI that was coming up behind us. But we actually ran past the AI to get out of that area. But it was intense. Those moments are hysterically funny. And
hurry up. Come on, I want this podcast over. Come on.
Yes, I know. All right. That's it for the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. All right.
That was the Division
continue
podcast.
On the Division.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't played anything else but the Division this week, so there's nothing else for me to talk.
20 minutes of Broforce, but Robin talked about last week. But
right.
I've only just touched it. Oh, that was so much fun. All the different characters, like Rambro and Robrocop and Brominator.
I played about an hour of it this morning. My kids were on the Xbox. And there's some, I'm at about, there's different chapters. I don't know how many there are. I think I'm on about the fourth chapter. But there are also like solo missions you have to do by yourself. And it's actually quite difficult. You have to be quite tactical with it. So. Yeah. There is a lot to it, and it's a great game, so I'm going to just chunk away. It's good fun, and it's at the right price for free on PlayStation as well, so yeah, it's good. Yeah. So, you know, that's about it. But the Division is going to be it for a while, guys, and people out there. I think we're going to be talking about it for a few weeks yet to come, at least.
Yeah, you remember last year when everyone got bored of us talking about Destiny? I think it's going to be a repeat of that.
Yeah,
but I think this might, such a word, I think this might have a bit more legs to it, might have a bit more longevity to it.
But I know, but you've had a long time with Destiny too.
I've had problems with that, and they've just announced a release of some more content for Destiny.
Yeah, I heard
some
more
stuff coming at Easter.
Hopefully, I think things are getting a little Skype-y on us. I'm hoping this is not a return of the issue of last week. Everything's been going so well so far. All right. Where are we at? We need to, I guess, continue on our conversation about... well, we don't really need to talk about Forza. Are we good with that, Robin?
No. We'll carry that later on. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll touch on that later.
All right. Well, we did have a few news items from this past week, so let's talk about those real fast. PlayStation VR got a price. We're switching hats. I like it. So $399 US. What is that? $350.
$350. Yeah. Okay. Which is the same price as a PS4 console.
Yeah.
Well, it was when it launched. But yeah. I think they've been very sensible there. Very clever. And it makes me get one of my predictions right.
Well, they've been very sensible, very clever, and very, very sort of bad at their marketing as well. I mean, saying that you have to have the PS camera, that's a bit of an oversight. And I know they're selling loads of PS cameras now. And they come out and say, well, lots of people have PS cameras. Well, that's not true. I'm sure it's just like nowadays, less people have Kinect. So, and of course, the bundle that you have to order, you cannot, or if you have a PS camera, you can't. There's none of the cheap bundles left today. You have to buy the bundle with the camera and
It's all out of the pre-orders.
So that's the bottom basement price, but it's another $100 more. That's the SKU that's going to be available at launch for most people. So. Yeah,
I might sell my camera and might get
You set that all aside, they've really hit the mark on the pricing. The pricing is spot on. Now, it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Vive, or it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Oculus, but it might be that entry drug to get people to come on to the next one. And, you know, fair play to them. They've got their price right. You know, it's spot on. In fact, I would actually love to have one. I don't know, it seems like a real crazy luxury, because it may or may not be a great thing, but I would love to have it on my shelf, because it's a very, very attractive piece of kit. I think it's the nicest looking piece of kit out of all three brands, all three SKUs of them.
Yeah, I think the headpiece design is really where, for me, it seems like it is the best solution. I'm not a big fan of the three strap. You know what I mean?
Thong.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to put a thong on my head. I'm just, you know.
Not again.
It's also coming out in October. We also know that. So October. I don't think that's an issue. I know some people were saying, "Oh, that gives Oculus and Vive a real head start," but I think they're
Different market. It
exactly.
Really is.
They're different markets. Like, I mean, my
son, he has a PC. It's able to run Vive and Oculus if he wants to. And Vive is the thing that he wants. That's the thing. God, Dad, wouldn't that be fantastic? He's into that.
Right.
I'm not. I don't want to really. I'd like to experience it. Wouldn't mind it. But I can't see that changing my gaming life. But Josh? Yeah, I think he'd be into that big style, and a lot of young'uns and ones that are building PCs and really enjoying it. And maybe
and Robin just went.
Oh, he's frozen up.
Yes,
they're not going to be wanting to buy PS4 and a PS4 headset. They don't want that. That's a completely different market altogether. So. And I don't. Was it 50 games going to be released or something like that at the time? I can't imagine them being of great quality. There might be, what,
yeah,
five or six are worth talking about, and the rest of them are going to be little tech demos and fart around things.
What sparks my interest, like, I usually am an early adopter, but this, I can't justify it for that price. Even though it is a nice price, I can't justify buying on day one. I'm going to wait. But the thing what I like about it is it'll work with all previous games. Obviously, you're not going to get the full VR, experience, but you can play the games, and it's like having it on a big screen.
That's cool.
You can watch your media through it, which interests me because we've been working sort of like fairly late, and then I'll get home. Jenny will fall asleep on the sofa, so I'll watch a movie sometimes on the night time before I go to bed.
Fall asleep with a thing in your head.
Yeah, so I could watch it on this massive, humongous like screen. Apparently, watching a movie on this is like watching a 5 meter screen in your house. So I think that experience would be worth it for me.
That thing that you're enclosed for the world. You know, there's going to be heart attacks of the people getting tapped on the shoulder. What the hell are you doing? You know, that's odd. I mean, somebody walking into the door, and not that it's going to happen. You're not going to be watching porn on PS4, but there's definitely going to be a lot of people caught.
Robin, they will.
I think the VR experience is a visit. I'm sure it'll happen. Visiting the space station and some of those, Mars or the moon or Grand Canyon, all those bits and pieces. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big part of VR, and it might find its way through PS4 that way as well. I'm sure that sort of thing's been worked on too. You know, visit the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, whatever, come to my Bongo's house.
It could be quite a good educational tool as well.
Yeah.
Imagine doctors using it to learn surgery and stuff. So
I can see that. Really. I can definitely see that. All right. So we have that. Microsoft talked about opening up their network. This is all coming out of the GDC conference, we should probably point out. So Microsoft said that they are now open to allowing Xbox One and I suppose, you know, future Xbox games to cross-platform play with PC as well as other networks, which there was their indirect way of saying, you know, PlayStation 4.
Don't mention that word.
This quite shocks me because Microsoft has always been really protective of their own network, very guarded. Their certification process has always been more stricter than everyone else. That's why the patches always come out later on Xbox than they do on PlayStation. So for them to do this, it's a really big step for them, and I quite applaud it, really. Imagine being able to play with someone on, say, The Division. We've got your best friend, Gary DeFelici, Greg, on PS4. We could play with him on Xbox One and PS4. Imagine
because he's got nobody to play with, by the sounds of it, at the moment on PS4. So,
yeah.
But that'd be amazing.
No, I think it would be amazing. And, I mean, this kind of goes back to the whole notion of basically a one-console future. You know, Dennis Dyack had his infamous one console future, and I know everybody kind of freaked out about that. And what does that mean? You know, I mean, really, what I think his vision of what he was talking about, which is kind of where consoles are heading, which is there's a common, common code, if you will. So anybody can make a game, and it will run on any machine. The UI experience may be different, but at the end of the day, kind of this notion of software exclusivity kind of goes out the door because, you know, games are games and they can be run on any machine. And in reality, that's happening.
Yeah, well, Steph J in the chat, he said it sounds like a death threat move. I don't see that. Steph J, I don't. I see this as part of this whole, this wrapper that the Microsoft seem to be developing the games in so they can move on to the Xbox Plus One or whatever it may be, and they can do backwards compatibility the same way that 360 games are running now. And I think that wrapper is becoming more and more versatile, the things that they can do with it.
So,
and there was a caveat that it's up to the developers as well if they want.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, 100%.
It's always down to the developer.
Yeah, this is them. I mean, the way I look at this, I don't think it's a desperate move.
I think it's a good move forward.
Well, I think it's part of their plan moving forward. Microsoft.
I don't think it'll be a case of like what I've just mentioned, where we can play with someone on PS4 with Division. I think that's a long way down the road.
Yeah.
There may be one or two games where they might do that. Call of Duty sounds like the obvious.
I think it'll be few and far between that this gets patched into it, and this is really going to be more about kind of forward looking.
Future games. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I mean. This kind of goes back to this whole Microsoft, shift, if you will, and people are freaking out. They're getting out of the console market. I don't think they're getting out of the console market. I think they're just creating. They're trying to create a unified platform that can run across multiple devices. They want consoles there because it's a cheap and low cost entry point into their ecosystem. So they want to have that $350 console that someone can buy because it basically is a very low-end PC in so many ways. And if as their Windows 10 platform, if it is going to develop the way they've been talking about it, I mean, in reality, it really could morph into being a very low-end PC.
Well, you wouldn't think it with Xbox One, but I think things getting smaller. But if you just try and go into the future 10 years and go back 10 years, so 10 years from now, consoles are not going to have disc drives. We're not going to have Blu-rays. That's going to be old hat, DVDs, old hat. So these boxes will get smaller. Now, I don't think they'll be integrated into TVs as such, but there will be a little box there of some shape or form. So as people's internet access speeds in 10 years' time from where they are right now, I may have fiber here, but my speed is bound to go up in 10 years' time. So the need to have discs, the more and more online, more and more streaming will become more and more available. So it kind of, they're playing there's a longer game
right,
as far as all this is concerned. So, I think there's a 2-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year plan. And the 5-year plan gets adjusted as we go along within the two.
Yeah.
But I think there is a long game here. And I think that is the way things are going, that it's going to become it'll be a service more than a disc. Yeah. We're already starting. How many physical discs have we bought this year?
Right.
We maybe are unique, but people will follow that. The general punter will follow that.
Well, it's already happening. I mean, you look at if you want to look at what Sony's doing, I mean, their whole future platform is evolving around things like PlayStation Now, the digital store, their View system, which is their television subscription service. You know, they want this box to evolve into more than just being a game playing machine. They want it to be an entertainment hub as opposed to being a game console. And I think that holds true for all of these companies, with the exception of maybe Nintendo. Nintendo just very well might want to just be a game machine, but I don't know. I don't know if I buy into that either. The Wii U had all the Wii TV stuff when it first came out, so I think there has been a desire to get these boxes to do more. And that's probably because also the writing on the wall is that PCs themselves are becoming smaller. They're capable, and they're now capable of making a very, very user-friendly interface for your television if you want. It's not quite there yet. There's still some, hiccups to being a PC gamer. To say that the PC experience is infinitely more difficult or challenging than a console experience, I don't really buy into that anymore.
Remember the whole talk about the Steam boxes. I think our PlayStations and our Xboxes are almost as close to Steam boxes as you can get.
Well, they are.
apart from running, you can run apps. You can run. It's not great. If not already, be able to attach a keyboard and mouse to Xbox One. I'm not sure about the PlayStation, but it is becoming that perfect Steam box. That's it.
No, and that's absolutely right, Robin. I mean, the Xbox and the PlayStation are going to be their versions of those boxes, you know, down the road. You know, and that's clear from what Microsoft said. It's clear from the direction of when you look at what Sony's doing with their box in terms of the different apps and the different media apps that they want to introduce. That convergence
is happening. And they're producing software for the Xbox and Microsoft within that wrapper that they've been talking about recently that goes from, you know, mobile to PC to Xbox. That's easy to transfer to hardware and to go with that backwards compatibility because it's built on that Windows 10 or 11, whatever that infrastructure will be. So it's just hardware change, not custom-built hardware, as in just specific to Xbox and the standard components. So that you know, all makes perfect sense of the way it's going to go. Yeah. And again, Station 082 saying he has a smart TV and it sucks. I have a smart TV in our main room, and we use it for Netflix and, you know,
I like
Amazon.
Netflix.
Amazon, you know, and that's the two main things. All the other apps are pretty crap, and there's games on it and stuff like that, but they're crap. But as a Netflix player, you know, it takes away boxes and plugs from my other room, and more devices will do more things, and right. Some of them will be better than others. So, yeah.
No, and that really is, I think, you know, again, so many people have wanted to try and create that all-in-one device, and we're still not there yet, but we're getting there. It's starting
there.
To happen more and more.
Much. So more and more refined.
And this kind of leads us into the next and last kind of news topic, and this is more of a rumor, so take this for what it is, but it's coming from, I believe, Patrick Klepek, who is pretty good about some of these rumors.
Ex-Giant
Bomb.
Cast guy,
Yeah. So the rumor is that there's going to be a PlayStation 4.5 model. Nobody really knows what that is. My guess, if I'm going to just throw this out there, you know, if you look at current setup for the PlayStation 4 and VR, as we take those two pieces together, the PlayStation 4 VR needs to have this external box to run properly for the PlayStation 4, and it really is just so it can put things up on the screen. But I'm guessing Sony probably wants to internalize all of that. So it's really just going to be a cable that's going to run from the PSVR into the PlayStation 4.5. And so that upgrade could just be basically taking those components and basically building them into a box, maybe upgrading some of the processing speed a little bit for the CPU.
Yeah,
I don't suspect it would be a drastic change. But this is kind of also what Microsoft was talking about, which is incremental upgrades to the hardware. And we've already seen this in the past, and it's funny because people are like, oh my God, they can't do that. These companies have been doing it. You know, if you think about it, the PlayStation 3 Slim, the Xbox 360 Slim, those were, in a sense, kind of hardware upgrades in that they shrunk the components, they upped the hard drive size.
Yeah, but for different... With a Microsoft, they put a different processor in there, so it didn't overheat and it run more efficiently. They put Wi-Fi into the Slim.
Right. Mm-hmm. We now have the the Xbox One Elite, which actually has the SSD drive. Hard drive in it. Yeah.
Hybrid drive, yeah.
So
I think these will be bigger chunks. I think this is.
I do agree with you.
iPhone stuff. I think it's. I don't think two years people were talking about. I don't even think 3 years. I think it's going to be once every 4 years. It seems though. I could swallow once every 4 years, dropping $300 on an upgraded beast that was backward compatible for the other one as well. I can live with that. And if it's a good jump, good.
Yeah, and I would agree.
These upgrades and. But for these sort of like better models, they've got to be cosmetic, haven't they? Because the game has got to run on all PS4s, or it's got to run on all Xbox One since launch, hasn't it?
Well, I don't think it has to be cosmetic.
They've always, because on 360, they always said if they released a game, it would run on every single 360 out there.
And they still can do that. They still can do that. Well, if
you could have extra options. To have better graphical fidelity, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. Better graphics.
And let's face it.
I think if they make a game where it'll only run on the like second generation of that life cycle, I think they will upset a lot of people, and they'll.
Oh no, and I don't think that'll happen. I think we've seen this already with on the 360 and Xbox, PS4, and PS3 with Call of Duty, where they released, you know, a cut down version for the older generation of stuff, yeah. And the better version was on the new gen. I would say if Sony and Microsoft release a next step, a 4.5 or whatever you want to call it, on both sides of the fence. They will both run the same software, but the more powerful one will run better. And the next step then will rule out the first. If we say that we're in year three now, so year four, this new thing comes out around Christmas time or just before September time, that'll run everything. And then 2 years on from that, the bigger step will kill the ones that we have right now. I think that's kind of the way it's going to go. Like iPhones, you know, it'll go so long, and then you know, year one, you'll need to upgrade. It won't run this any longer. Well, I mean, it's not useless, but if you want the latest and best,
right,
that's the way it's going to go. They want our money. They want that. They don't want more money every 8 years. They want it over and over again.
I mean, and I think also just us as consumers, to be perfectly honest, I don't want another 10-year console life cycle.
No,
I don't want the 360 to last for 10 years. Now, granted, I bought early, you know, and I bought my PlayStation 3, I think, 2 years after I had my 360. So both lasted a really long time. But I don't want to go, you know, 8+ years of having the same hardware.
We change TVs in every 5 years or so. You know, that's kind of the norm. It's 5 years, your main TV, you move up somewhere there, so why not with us here?
Agreed. All right, we have trivia.
Dang.
Trivia. So,
I've got some catching up to do, haven't I?
Yeah.
Nicole's storming in the lead, didn't you know?
Let's talk about this real quick.
I have scores?
Yes. So, Robin, you are sitting right now at 3 points. Mark, you are at 4 points. Fraser also tied with you at 4 points. Nicole has blown past you guys. She's at 8 points right now.
Eight. Holy crap.
8 points.
Y'all?
Kim sitting in at 3, and then we have Gary and Rich Webster both at a point apiece. So that is the scoreboard as it stands. Yeah, Nicole has just been, I think, consistently on shows a little bit more than
consistently on.
Yeah,
consistently lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. But we do have some trivia, so here we go.
Can I just add a thing? After listening to last week's, let each other say an answer between each other. Mm. I thought that would have been a bit sneaky because, say, Richard Webster got a Nintendo question, he's going to know the answer. People could just easily say, "Oh yeah, I'll have that."
The
answer at the same time.
I ended up just I take you guys on your honor. This is not like for big bucks, so you know I'm not
trying to me.
It is. To Las Vegas
and it's for flights to LA, flights to California.
Right.
For the whole family.
Forgot about that.
Good to see you, Greg DeLay.
I will say this: Rich went last on every question last week, and got both of them wrong.
Well, there's an easy way to do this. We have show notes open.
Right.
You can tell us what we can press A, B, or C.
There you go.
Press button.
There you go.
So we can do that. So we can do a test. You say 1, 2, 3, and we go, There you go.
So that works.
Say pressure buttons.
Perfectly
night.
Fine. So Mark, night. Get your there cursor you down where Robin's where, at, where? Under the news in podcast trivia section. So our first question. And of course, you at home can play along.
In the chat, you can do the same thing.
Jason Johnson, by the way, put these together like driving in the car. So thank you, Jason Johnson, for getting these in. He had we'll just say things came up that caught his attention. I'm not going to say he forgot. All right. So Lightning is the main character in how many Final Fantasy games? Is the main character in how many Final Fantasy games? Now, fortunately, this is multiple choice, so here are your choices.
The main character.
Main character in how many Final Fantasy games?
Oh, not just an extra character.
Lightning is the main character.
I don't even know what Lightning looks like.
Nor do I. Nor do I really care. But here are your choices.
Final Fantasy game.
You have A3, B4, C1, or D2. So basically 1 through 4. How many of the Final Fantasy games is Lightning the main character? Are you both ready to lock in your answers?
Yeah.
Please give me your answers now.
Whatever that was.
Okay, so I see a... Let me just double check here. So Mark, you said B... Sorry, C.
Oh, C. Yep.
Mark said C, and Robin said D. And I am going to let both of you know it was A.
Oh, yes. One. Just one.
Three.
I knew I never hadn't
three.
Heard of that character.
Three.
Lightning was the main character in three Final Fantasy games.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, here is your last chance to try and make up some ground against Miss Radowski. Here we go. Question number two. Who is the developer of the game Don't Starve? Who is the developer of the game Don't Starve? Here are your choices. Here are your choices. Is it A, Cappy Games, B, Heart Machine, C, Frictional Games, or D, Klee Entertainment? And I might be saying that wrong, but it's K-L-E-I Entertainment. Which of these is the developer for the game Don't Starve? Cappy Games, Heart Machine, Frictional Games, or Klee Entertainment? Are you both ready to give an answer?
Yep.
Go ahead and give me your answers.
Ah!
All right. So, Mark, you said, let me just make sure. Yes, you said D. So you said Klee Entertainment. And Robin,
it's the only one what sounded familiar.
You said A, Cappy Games. So, I will tell you, one of you got the answer correct, and one of you got the answer if the game was Below, because Below would be the other game that one of these... These are all developers, real developers, by the way. So, I will tell you now, the game Below was made by... Cappy Games. And Klee Entertainment did, in fact, make Don't Starve.
It was one or t'other. Very good.
Well done,
Mark.
Yes. Well done, Mark.
I played a little bit of this on PS5. It was one of the PS Gold. Gold. I'm getting mixed up with Xbox. One of the PSN titles. And when you read out the developers, that was the only one that seemed to jog anything in my memory. So, quite lucky there.
Well, well done. And yeah, well, she's amassing a very challenging. She's been getting them right. She's good at guessing, so I'm just gonna throw that out there. All right, well, let us move on then from podcast trivia. What do we got here? New releases, Robin. You wouldn't mind reading off the new releases, would you?
Yeah. Okay, we have Neptunia U Action Unleashed for the PC, starting off on the 21st of March. 101 Ways to Die for the PC as well. Cat Lateral Damage for PS4. Day of the Tentacle Special Edition. We've already had a victory achieved for that on the 22nd of March, somehow or another. Dragon Fantasy The Black Tome of Ice for PS4. Fallout 4 Automatron DLC comes out on 22nd of March. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people looking forward to that. Lichdom Battle Mage for Xbox One and PS4. Nelly Kutalot, The Foul Fleet, PC, Mac, and Linux. Out of the Park Baseball for PC on the 22nd of March. Republic for PS4 on March 22nd as well. And then Trackmania Turbo, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. There's already a demo of that on Xbox One, if you want to have a look at that. And of 100 More Minutes to Die also comes out on PS4 and Xbox One, 23rd and 24th of March, respectively. The Descendant on PC, and Samorost 3 comes out for PC and Mac on the 24th of March, and also does Slain and Total War Battles Kingdom on PC, Mac, iOS, and Android as 24th of March. And the final one there is Hyrule Warriors Legends for the 3DS on March the 25th And those are your releases for the forthcoming week.
Awesome. Thank you for that. All right, well, I'll get into the play dates. We've got the ongoing Forza stuff going on. So, Robin, I know you have been you've been the sole representative. I had to bow out. Work just was not cooperating with me. I felt horrible, but, I mean, hey, you got to make a living.
Sheesh, theater. Well, I mean, there was two big events that took place this week. There was the monthly round of the WEC, which is a big fancy Le Mans cars, and it was at Long Beach, which is a street circuit, very, very tricky, and that's with full damage on fuel. So it's a 1 hour long race with a 15 minute qualifying, so it's very, very intense, and fuel strategy comes into it, and makes it very exciting. So Smurftastic, he took the win from the Henwood in second, and I took a very sneaky third place from Wudan because I saved a bit more fuel and didn't have to do an extra pit stop at the very, very end and snuck into third place, which I was very happy with. And the next round of that is not until Monday, the 11th of April, and it's in Silverstone in the wet. That'll be a tricky race. Nice. And also this week on Wednesday, we had an IndyCar round on Watkins Glen, and Henwood took the win there with Smurftastic again in second and Taffman in third place. And the next race will be on the fantastic course, which is Laguna Seca. And it's absolutely fantastic, that corkscrew corner.
Corkscrew.
Sure. Brilliant. And that's this Wednesday between 9 o'clock and 11 GMT. It's great fun. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are. You're very, very welcome to come and join. And if you contact at the Henwood or at person that knows 3000, we'll get you sorted out. Please, if you've got 4 to 6 and you fancy racing with 14, 15, 16 people, it's manic and great, great fun. So come and join the fun there.
All right. Excellent. Moving on, let's talk about We Are Epic and Victories Achieved. Mark, I'll throw this your way.
Yeah, so, We Are Epic is a quarterly competition we're running. What we want you to do is just send in a 30-second or less cool video clip. It can be something funny, something really cool, and something completely epic, and people go, oh my God. And we will judge these, and at the end of a quarter, you can win $20 of your gaming credit, whether it be PSN or Xbox Live or Steam. To enter, what you do is you send your 30-second video clip to epic.g4t.com, which is our Facebook page. Or if you don't do the Facebooks, you can send it to our very own Bongo at bongo@g4t.com, and he will post it on your behalf. Like I say, this finishes at the end of March, so get in any videos now. Greg just submitted one for The Division recently. Where he tried to shoot someone behind the camera, missed him 3 times, and then got a cracking shot on someone running away.
Don't run away from me.
I think the funniest one I've seen this week was from our old buddy Skulldugger, and that was Poop or Die. And he was again the Division, and a dog was taking a poop. it ended up on a very, very sad poor dog. It's good.
And in a similar vein, we've got our Victory Achieved competition, which is, again, a quarterly competition, but this one's drawn at random. But to get your name into that random draw, what you have to do is finish a game, and when the credits are going in the back on your TV screen, do a selfie of your face, hopefully not any other bodily parts, with the credits in the background, and tweet that to @G4TDOTCOM, all one word, @g4t.com on the old Twitter sphere with the hashtag Victory Achieved. And then at the end of March, we will enter all those names into a hat and draw one at random. And again, you can win $20, or with Greg's calculation, that's deduct £15
on your
gaming currency.
It works.
At the moment, just about. Yeah.
And we've had some victories achieved this week, these past 7 days. And we have Infected Psych, who finished Kirby Triple Deluxe. Companion Cube finished Remember Me. Caliber M finished Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. Kyle Adams finished Far Cry Primal. Infecticide finished Day of the Tentacle Remastered, and Chinit 1985 finished Far Cry Primal. So all those people will be entered into the draw for the end of this quarter and could win $20, and so could you if you enter our Victory Chiefs.
Absolutely.
In fact, excellent. I've got a special thing for that someone.
Okay,
so the next part of this is completion to our chart off of Trans TV here, Greg.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
I found classic.
I was going to do it live. Do it live.
Do it live. An extra little wrinkle to Victory Achieved. So I'm raising a little bit of money for Extra Life. And that's a kids' charity. And we'll do a 24-hour gaming event later on this year. So if you finish a full game, you'll get a full point. If you finish a short game or a long DLC or an iOS game, you'll get half a point. I decide. Pretty much all the games there this week qualify for a full point. And if you want to see how I work that out, it's on howlongtobeat.com. So every full point, I give a dollar to Extra Life. So far this year, there's been 96 points, and that's $96 for the kids. So the winner of this will get an Overseas Connection t-shirt and a mug. No flights still, I'm not that generous like Greg. So far this year, there's been 36 people have tuned in with this, and they've completed 96 games. And the top of the charts has changed around a wee bit. Amras has gained 16 points, or completions, if you want to call them that. Companion Cube has swapped
42 games.
Yeah. He's jumped up into second, and Caliburn is joint second with 7. Sarah has went down a wee bit there at 6, and then there's a whole row of people right down to half a point for Mr. Killer Cranky and Chapstick, our friend in Australia. Chinny got on the board this week with a 1. So, yeah, join in with that. Look, you know what? It's still a bit of fun. You still get entered to Victories Achieved, and we're raising a wee bit of money for Extra Life as well. Thank you.
You are most certainly welcome, sir. All right. Well, it's that time. We're going to wrap the show up. I know we got a little Skype at the end here. I don't quite know what... I think I'm going to have some severe words with my internet provider.
Click in. Funny again, Greg.
Yes, it is, technology, right? And it's funny because I'm looking at the connection speed and I'm like, yeah, I pretty much should be getting twice what I'm getting right now. So go figure. And I'm the only one in the house. My wife took off, so go figure. Go figure.
It's the Mexicans. They're tapping and dating you. That, as soon as that wall goes up.
Sons of bitches. Yeah, we got to build a wall. That's it. Build the wall. All right. Look, if you want to be part of the show, you want to listen to us, normally we are broadcasting at 3 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. UK. That is kind of the standard time frames. With the time zone changes, that's shaking things up a little bit. We were on an hour later this week in the U.S., we will try and keep to the schedule as much as possible. In fact, boys in the UK, when does your time roll forward?
Next weekend.
There we go.
Saturday, Sunday night. Sunday morning.
Easter weekend.
Yeah. It's always the last weekend in March and October for us.
Happy Easter to you. You lose an hour of sleep. All right. We should be back to normal then, I guess, after next week. Of course, if you want to be part of the show and listen in and watch us, live.g4t.com is all you need to know. Type that into your browser. It'll take you right to our Twitch page, and you can watch us podcast away. You can always email the show if you ever want to, podcast@g4t.com. We do have a Twitter, which is OC_podcast. And we also, of course, have a Facebook group where you can do things like the We Are Epic Facebook Challenge. And all you need to do there, if you want to go to our Facebook page, we keep it really easy for you, fb.g4te.com. That takes you right to the page.
Sorry, Greg, would you say that again, because you just completely cut out there completely?
Sure.
I just got the odd new syllable.
I know. FB as Frank Bravo dot Greg for television Ernie.
No, not
.com.
Yeah, you can't hear Mark either, Mark, can you?
Can you hear me, Mark?
I'm not getting involved with this.
Come on.
iTunes reviews. We do like our iTunes reviews.
Say my name.
Exactly. iTunes reviews, we are always looking forward to them, as well as YouTube reviews, because we do put our show onto YouTube now, so that's also there. So I think that's pretty much it. At this point, we can do some shout-outs. I'm going to curse out Robin when we're done with the show, but for now, Robin, why don't you start it off, and it'll come full circle back to you, my friend.
Yeah, some division shout-outs. I had a quick blast with Dino. Dino, and Mike DeSaint. I had a great battle with DeSaint, and he helped me through a mission that was really good fun. We failed many times before we got through it. It was very good, and I played quickly with Filthy today, and just a special shout out to Filthy. Thinking about you, bud. Stay tough, stay strong. And Skulldugger, I played a little bit of division with him too. That was unique in its own fantastic way that only can be unique with Skulldugger. I'd love to hear Skull on the show again. Here he's freeing up on Saturday night, so maybe we'll get him back on again sooner rather than later. That'll be kind of cool. Mark?
Yeah, I just want to shout out all my fellow Division agents who I've played with, and anybody who wants to join us in the Division. I'm playing on Xbox One. Just drop me a message or send me an invite. I'm happy to join anyone anytime on that game because I love it. And a special happy birthday to my lovely wife, Jenny. It's actually her birthday right now, the 20th
Jenny.
Of March. Yeah,
happy 36 birthday!
Minutes, 36 minutes ago, it was her birthday.
Aww.
She's 21 again, apparently, so she says. So,
happy birthday indeed to her, yes.
Yeah.
And over to you, Greg.
Well, I want to say thank you to the two of you, even despite Robin's shenanigans. Yes, you're down with the kids. I completely did not realize a third cap change.
Yep.
You've had wardrobe changes the entire podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes his cap more on here than he does on the Division.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've been like changing my outfits pretty consistently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you to both of you. Thank you to everybody in the chat. Step J, actually, can we do a quick shout out to everybody that was in the chat, Mark?
We've got Game Girl, which is our own Kim, Step J, Teflon 12, Mr. Trivia himself. We had, I don't know if he's a new listener, it's the first time I've seen the name, Station 082, so welcome to you, buddy. Who else have we had? Scrolling, someone called Bongo. Martin 1, Psycho Womble called in, Damson 01. Yeah, all right. Being fun tonight.
Well, thank you all for joining in. And, you know, as always, we do this as a free service to our community because, hey, we just like talking about video games. And well, you know, you're all a bunch of great people. So that said, check us out. Come back again next week. We should be around. We've been doing it for, quite a long time. Each and every week we're here, rain or shine. We're like the U.S. Postal Service. We just keep on delivering. That's it. Thank you so much again. And Mark, take us out.
Yes. Here we go. Bye everyone. Everybody.